So we began last week in our series called Sola, and we are talking about what matters most. In other words, what's at the heart of the Christian faith? Because in our Christian faith, we believe, we confess, we say that we are saved by Christ alone, solus Christus. Not because of what we have done, but by God's grace alone. Sola gratia. Which we receive through faith alone, not by our works. Sola fide. And we know all of these incredible truths through Scripture alone. Sola scriptura. And because of all of this, we live to the glory of God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. This is the heart of our Christian faith and what mattered most to defend the faith that was under attack in the Reformation. But today we're going to look at grace alone. Sola gratia. Now, grace is a wonderful reality. Grace is God loving the unlovable. Grace is God being merciful to people who are undeserving. Grace is God being patient with preachers who forget their message. Grace is God being generous to those in debt up to our eyeballs with sin. Last week we talked about how sometimes the solas can be hard to swallow because they point to Christ rather than to us. And this is most certainly true of grace. Because grace does two things. One, it does point at us and reminds us that we are undeserving. But most importantly, and secondly, it does indeed point to Jesus, who gives us what we don't deserve. Now, this isn't easy for us to hear because we kind of like being worthy of what we receive. I mean, our human nature loves to earn something. It loves to deserve something. It likes when we can merit stuff. I know I liked it as a kid. I remember days playing Little League baseball. And when we did good, the coach would say, "We're going to the Dairy Barn." Now, I guess if you were in Romeo, it would say, "We're going to the Dairy Queen." But if we played good, if we turned the double play, if we didn't make too many errors, if we hit, if we won, the reward was coming. Ice cream. Now we do this in life, and it's not just for Little League. We do this as big adults too. It goes like this. I've worked hard. Can I get a promotion? I've served faithfully. Can I get recognition? I've raised my kids right. Can they do some right? Now, when things don't work out this way, we get ticked. We're offended. Now, this leads us to the story read in the gospel reading today. This is a parable about grace. Jesus tells a story about harvest time in Galilee. There were day laborers who were looking for work. It's harvest time, so the landowner knows that there's going to be more work needed. So he gives day laborers work to work the harvest. Now, these guys clearly want to work, and he agrees to pay them a denarius, which is the standard wage for the day. He's going to pay them a day's work. So the guys are there early in the morning, and they jump at the chance. But as the day unfolds, he knows he needs more workers. So he goes out at 9 a.m. and he sees more people at the marketplace looking for work, and he hires them. And then the owner goes out again at noon, at 3, and 5. All three times he finds more people, even right up to 1 hour before quitting time. Now, 1 hour before the workday is done, the owner is still bringing in laborers. But these are not the kinds of people jumping at a chance to work. They're probably, hopefully, hoping secretly that it's too late. But if anyone asks them, at least they can tell who's ever around their family when they travel back home that they at least tried to get some work, but it didn't happen. But even still, with 1 hour left in the day, the owner brings them on. 6 p.m. comes. It's time to come home. It's also time for the paychecks to get passed out. And this is what we read. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. Now, the workers who came early in the morning obviously didn't like it. So when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These were hired last, worked only 1 hour, they said. And you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day? Here's a picture. Ever feel like this? We all have, right? All of us have felt this throughout our life. Grace, as it turns out, seems very unfair. And so it offends. It makes no allowance for how we feel we or anyone else are owed. Human nature is such that we appreciate the gift in theory, but not so much in practice. A pure gift upsets things. It upsets us. You see, God's grace and His unconditional love is so very threatening to how we order our lives with merit and worth. Brennan Manning summed it up beautifully when he wrote in his memoir, All is Grace, and I quote, "My life is a witness to vulgar grace, a grace that amazes as it offends, a grace that pays the eager beaver who works all day long the same wages as the grinning drunk who shows up at 10 till 5. A grace that hikes up the robe and runs breakneck toward the prodigal reeking of sin and wraps him up and decides to throw a party, no ifs, ands, or buts. A grace that raises the bloodshot eyes to a dying thief's request, please remember me, and assures him, you bet. A grace that is the pleasure of the Father, fleshed out in the carpenter Messiah, Jesus the Christ, who left his Father's side, not for heaven's sake, but for our sakes, yours and mine. This vulgar grace is indiscriminate compassion. End quote. You see, grace is God's generosity, indiscriminate of us all. Grace alone is that our salvation is all of God through all of Christ for all of us, no matter how early or late you show up. So the parable continues. The landowner speaks. He answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who is hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? You see, the landowner is having nothing of it because he wants to be generous. It's who he is. And man, we are so like the land work or the workers in this parable who don't get it. We want life to be about reward, effort, payment. But Jesus is not talking about work. He's not talking about payment. This whole story is about grace. The whole story is about the generosity of the owner. It's not about the wages and who gets what. This is grace. Grace is about what God gives. It's not about us. That's why it's grace alone. Grace alone is about God's generosity given to people that we would say don't deserve. That includes you and me. You see, there's two big lessons that need to be learned if grace alone is going to make its way into shaping our lives. Having something to say in the way that we live and see our life. So we have to be crystal clear about two points. First point you see on the screen, grace is not based on merit. Grace is not based on what we do or what we earn. It never is. There is this big word, and it is the way that we talk about life framed in the philosophy that we get or what we get or earn is based solely on what we merit. Meritocracy. You got to earn it. The idea that if you improve your performance, you improve your compensation. Now, this is how it works in our society. But note well, when it comes to our relationship with God, the owner of all of life, this parable totally shatters meritocracy. Because grace is not based on the merit of the receiver, but on the generosity of the giver. Let me say that again. Grace is not based on the merit of the receiver, but on the generosity of the giver. It is not about what we do, but about what God does for us. And yes, it is so easy to confuse. if we get caught up in thinking it's all about us, something in us, something about us, we will get grace all messed up. The clarity to understanding grace is understanding this question asked in the parable by the landowner. Are you envious because I'm generous? Notice he doesn't say, are you envious because I'm generous with the people who came later? He simply says, I am generous, period. He's generous to every single worker who came that day. Only some in that group appreciated the generosity because the others think they earned it. Every one of us, all of our lives depend on the generosity of God. And that generosity is seen and known in the giving of a Savior, Jesus, who came to work in this vineyard on our behalf. Which brings us to the second lesson necessary for us to know about grace alone. That grace is greater than any debt. Jesus tells a fascinating parable to a Pharisee named Simon. Here it is. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. You ever hear the phrase, racking up the debt? It comes from those old school credit card machines. Remember these days when credit cards were imprinted by hand? Remember that? The clerk would take your plastic and place it in this imprint machine and rick-rack. The numbers would be registered and the purchase would be made. Now, credit card purchases today aren't nearly as dramatic. Nowadays, the chip is placed in the slot. No noise, no drama, no pain. I say bring back the rick-rack days when the purchase was announced for all to hear. You buy gas, rick-rack. You charge some clothes, rick-rack. You pay for dinner, rick-rack. If the noise didn't get you, the statement at the end of the month would. 30 days is enough time, believe me, to rack up enough purchases to rack your budget. And a lifetime is enough to rack up some major debt in our relationship with God and the people around us. You go off on your kids, rick-rack. You covet your friend's house, rick-rack. You envy your neighbor's success, rick-rack. You break a promise, rick-rack. You lie. Rick-rack. You lose control. Rick-rack. You doze off during this sermon. Rick-rack, rick-rack, rick-rack. Further and further in debt. Now, initially, we attempt to repay what we owe. But soon we realize all of us, all of our debts are astronomical because of sin. That is ours. And grace alone says, God alone pays the debt in full because of Christ alone. And no matter the amount of debt, God's grace alone is greater. But the even better news is that His grace is greater than we could ever imagine. He is that generous. You see, our net worth, what your life is worth and my life is worth, and the reality that we can feel in the depths of our bones how debilitating debt can be, it's not just sin that is wrong with us. It's not just sin that God deals with in His generosity towards us. Because it's not just sin that is wrong with us. You see, grace alone restores what has been robbed of you. I'll say it again, not everything wrong with us is a sin. We preach about right and wrong, morality and immorality, and we should. But what's wrong with us can go deeper than that. You and I experience shame and self-hatred and false guilt. And the grace of God is that He Himself restores your self-worth. He purchased and won you, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious, and innocent blood, that you may be His own. Jesus says to you, "Come to me, all who are ashamed, who feel like trash, who are abused, confused, afraid, and I will give you worth." What defines your worth is not the abuse you suffered, the disease you bear, or the worthlessness you feel. What defines your value and worth is the God who by grace makes you His very own. Because in Christ, you are precious, valuable, together, whole, pure, clean. Grace alone. God is generous. He gives. He pays. He loves. He forgives. He welcomes you as His own. It's all grace. Grace alone. In Jesus' name. Amen.